Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of May, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, I just mentioned following my report on Friday's operation on my carotid artery, and in also a response to an email here today, I just wanted to start off by saying that I feel I'm in good hands, and most importantly of all, I feel very good, both physically and psychologically, and I think that's the most important thing, how you actually feel. Okay, so first, what are the highlights here today? Well, stock markets seem to be pausing in Asia, a few more down than up on the day. However, in Europe, we had a few more up than down on the day, very small moves overall in Europe. In Asia, the Hang Seng Index had one of the bigger falls, as did Australia. Both were down over 3%. Now, Wall Street closed out the day with some modest gains, just over 1% for the S&P, 1.5% for the NASDAQ, and less than 0.5% up for the Dow. Long-dated government bonds were a little bit firmer against this background generally. The US dollar, having been a bit firmer early on, eased during the day as Wall Street stayed in the or moved into the plus column and stayed there. We saw crude oil a little bit steadier here, 58.5. Natural gas encountering some profit-taking, having risen over a dollar recently. That's a huge percentage move, 33%. And metals. We had some small tests to the downside, and then they closed mostly firmer. Silver, for instance, I'm looking at the July contract, but that had dropped down to 1371. It's lost traded after hours at 1404.5, and gold bullion that had dipped down to 920.71, but is lost at 926.35. So quietly steady in here today. Platinum a little bit easier, as is palladium. The industrial metals were mostly a little bit firmer. The exceptions were tin and lead, which saw small declines. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, following 9 excellent weeks of a stock market rally, it does look very much to us as if this is running out of steam. And I should also note that with some of them, for instance, I posted the emerging markets index today, we could clearly see an upward acceleration in its gains last week. So 8-week rally, and in the 9th week you get the biggest gain. That's usually an ending signal, a little bit that acceleration indicating a near-term peak. We haven't had any heavy downward dynamics. It's been sort of mixed trading overall. My feeling is that we're spilling over into the reaction and consolidation that we have, both Owen and I have talked about. Now, best case scenario would probably be that we see just a ranging consolidation for stock markets. This could easily last for a few weeks and even a few months. But stock markets often fall faster than they rise, even in bear markets, even in bull markets, I should say. That's what I meant to say, even in bull markets, and this is a bull market in my view. So we could see them pull back more sharply at some point, particularly in the latter stage of whatever reaction or correction that we actually see. I think that markets will perform somewhat differently. I think that, for instance, the emerging markets, although they are higher beta, they have by far the best patterns, and I think they'll maintain the best patterns overall. And this will be the first reaction of any consequence that we have seen for many of the OECD stock markets since their March lows. And a number of people are still of the view that this was just a bear market rally. But you know, it always starts off that way. That's what they always say. First they say, well, it's not going to do anything. And then they're still calling it downwards. But then that the rally becomes a fact. And so they call it a dead cat bounce. And then the rally continues, shows no sign that it's just a dead cat bounce, and it's persistent and orderly, which is not consistent with bear markets. And so they say, well, nevertheless, they say it's just a bear market rally, and we're likely to see new lows. Now, I don't doubt that there are plenty of lingering economic problems out there. And if we take the U.S. in particular, and that's the one that so many people are watching, I think the consumer is going to be in a battered position for a very long time. And the consumer, U.S. consumer, certainly is not going to be aggressive while house prices are still falling. And there are a lot of arms resets coming up this year and next. So that's not favorable. The consumer is going to remain very cautious while unemployment is still rising. And I think the penny has dropped. The consumer in the US recognizes that really he, she need to dig themselves out from under this mountain of debt that they've built up. Mind you, always encouraged to do so with some of the most outrageous advertising in my view, but I don't want to digress too much. We've seen that in other countries as well, certainly in the UK. So I think growth will be weak. And I've said this for a long time, but a key point, and one of the reasons why we've seen such a good rally, is first, we've had tons of quantitative easing at a time when lots of people were forecasting a depression. And I would say that it's now quite obvious that we're not going to have a depression or nothing like the 1930s. And also, I would just classify this as a severe, long financial recession, and financial recessions do tend to be severe and long. But that the quantitative easing has worked in the sense that it has certainly helped to restore confidence, and that I have often described this as the biggest attempted asset reflation in human history. And clearly, it has met with a measure of success, evidenced by the rebound in stock markets and evidenced by the rebound in commodity prices. Both stock markets and a number of those commodity prices are now overdue for some reaction and consolidation. So this is not a time to be aggressively pumping money into the stock market, in my view. Some people, if they're short-term oriented, may wish to take some money off the table. I probably should have held on to my short positions, but I opened them, my hedge short positions, but I opened them a couple of weeks too soon, and was not happy to be running those, although they are somewhat lower than where I closed them today. And I think that those who wish to commit capital or further capital to the stock markets, that they can be reasonably comfortable that the old sell in May and go away analogy is going to, or caveat is going to work out, and that they will have a chance to buy on a pullback. And I don't look for much worse than that. But a lot will depend on where Wall Street and the other OECD stock markets bottom on Following your reaction, I would expect them to hold over half of the gains, and if so, that will certainly be a favorable indication. If they do more than that, if they pull back more than half of the gains that we've seen since the March lows, particularly if Wall Street does that, that would weigh on sentiment a little bit further in here. So, interesting times, aren't they always? Moving on, in terms of the long-dated government bonds, I think it would take a sharp stock market sell-off to produce more than temporary technical rallies, which I think will be capped by the overhead resistance that you will see on all charts of long-dated government bond futures. So I think they're a sell on rallies myself. And in terms of currencies overall, I think it would take a bigger stock market rally, beg your pardon, let me start over again on that sentence. I think it would take a bigger stock market correction than I am expecting to produce real strength in the US dollar. For some time, we felt that the US dollar and commented that the US dollar had lost upward momentum, that it was toppy. I think it's basically range bound between the lows that we saw back in June and July and the highs that we saw a month or two ago. But that those highs are probably more dominant right now, and there's no real reason for the US dollar to be strong. It's not going to be interest rates, it's not going to be leading the world out of recession. The countries that are leading the world out of recession are the ones that didn't go into recession, but just saw, if you like, a growth recession, China, for instance. Now, therefore, I do have some US dollar short positions. There is nothing's without risk, and the risk with those dollar short positions, as I mentioned before, is that stock markets see a somewhat bigger reaction, perhaps registering as a correction, which as they having rallied back to their 200-day moving averages in many instances, and even above those 200-day moving averages in a number of instances, that was the reversion of the mean that Owen and I have been talking about since late last October. We have seen it, but it is also a reversion of the mean, in our opinion, within a base building process. So, in other words, pull it all together, stock markets began to bottom out. The bear market was really ending from late October onwards, and if the bear market is ending, that means that the new bull market is actually beginning, but only in terms of base formation development, and those bases were completed much more quickly for the stronger economies. That avoided recession, that don't have huge government and current account debts, and where personal savings rates are quite high. And all predictable stuff, isn't it? Okay, anything else to mention in here? Gold, yes. Have a look at, if you're interested in gold, and I think most subscribers are, have a look at the charts of gold in other currencies. Veteran subscribers will recall that all the really good moves on the upside occur when gold bullion is appreciating against all currencies. Now, what we know is that from February onwards, when we had that peak in bullion that was up over $1,000 briefly, that gold then fell as stock markets rallied. It fell against all currencies. But those declines have lost downside momentum. Bullion has steadied against all currencies. That doesn't mean it's going to run away on the upside, but it does suggest that it is building support and, well, or in line with my view that we will see new all-time highs in 3Q or 4Q 2009. And I think that's pretty much it. It's nice to be back. And I'll just conclude, as I usually do, by saying all the very best to all of you.